Let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Back on schedule this week, inside the Patriots playbook, as the Pats come off of a 31-19 win over the Oakland Raiders, and it is J-E-T-S week. So, are you ready for that? Yeah, I think we probably all are a little bit ready for that. I would say that we're at least getting very, very close to it. Yeah, here it comes. I think we should, by the way, I think we should truck in a Fireman Ed. What do you think? Should we truck in Fireman Ed? I think we should, yeah, I think we should. I think we should bring Fireman Ed into the equation. Get him to, and get him to lead a JETS amongst the Jets fans who actually come to Foxborough. I'd be an advocate for this, Kevin. Let's get on this. Tell Paul Prose, who's our entertainment director as well, they said, we need to look up Fireman Ed. We need to give him a ticket. Don't give him a plane ride. Give him a ticket to the game. But bring his butt in here. Tell him to wear all of his Jets regalia and bring his fireman's ed helmet.
I kicked him off the field last year after they won in the playoffs. He got on the field somehow, and I was the only one who recognized him, and I had security go get him off our field.
How did he get down on the field?
I don't know, but I didn't want him on our field.
Well, I don't blame you. You did right, but at least you can get a hold of the guy. So call him up. Tell him we want him. I want him to stand up and lead a JETS because I think that may be the way to get our fans riled up. This is rivalry week, baby. By the way, strippers, if you're listening, and I think you probably are, I know it's Texas-Oklahoma week. I fully admit that Texas is the inferior team, so that shouldn't come as a surprise to you. But if you want, you know, send me a note or whatever, and if you want to have a little gentleman's wager on the game, I guess I'd... No, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to do that because I'd just be jinxing it. We have very little chance as it is. I'm a realist here. Texas is not going to win the game. They're not going to beat Oklahoma. I hope I'm wrong. I doubt I will be. But I'm not going to nuke any chance that I have by wagering on the Longhorns. That's just not going to happen. I'm very happy, though. They seem to have improved over a year ago. So we'll just leave it at that. Take my whooping like a man this week, and then we'll, you know, work on 11-1. Which isn't going to happen either because they got Oklahoma State coming up after that. So just enjoy, my friend. Just enjoy. Looks like we may be conference mates for at least a little bit longer. All right, a lot of stuff to get to, as you're well aware. Nitpick Tuesday. There are many things that we can nitpick on with this team. Just a couple of opening declarative statements. I want you to sound off. Webmail, of course, is webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 is how you get us on the phone. Facebook page is up and running. And if you have not joined on the Facebook page, just simply search for John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you're not a friend already, submit the friend request. I will answer that. And then you may post your question, you may message your question, or then you may chat your question. You can also find me on Twitter. That was Facebook. On Twitter as well, @JRook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter page. Now, you know, we've gotten that out of the way. Nitpicks. The biggest one that I have clearly has to be defensive-oriented. As I mentioned with the boys right at the end of PFW, this team won the game because they were able to limit Oakland to 2 scoring chances and 5 opportunities in the red zone. That was it. Red zone defense. Bill Belichick talked a little about it yesterday in his press conference. They're better in the red zone, which suggests a bend but don't break philosophy again. I thought we were getting away from that this year, but apparently they're not. Maybe they're just not physically capable of getting away from that. Okay, so... All right, that's what won him the game. That, and as he said, you know, Jason Campbell throwing right to Pat Chung in the end zone to do away with another opportunity. So, you know, there you go. But the other big nitpick I have is the defense going soft at the end of the game on a meaningless touchdown. It was 31-13. The game is over with. And then they give up that, you know, huge chunk of yardage at the end of the game with, what, 26 seconds left. They get on the scoreboard again. I'm like, why? Why can't they? I don't understand the philosophy there. Why do you just let somebody, you know, run you over down the field? I mean, if I'm out there, I'm taking that personally. I realize that there were penalties or, you know, there were injuries. You know, you didn't have Mayo. We may not have Mayo for a few weeks now. I'm not buying a lot of the excuses here. Step up and make a play. Why are you playing soft? Why are you playing prevent? The game should be decided. The outcome should be decided. If you let them score quickly, you're letting them back in. You're giving them a glimpse of hope. What happened to stepping on somebody while you got them down? I guess that really, honestly, is my biggest single nitpick, and it was a meaningless touchdown. But it's just an attitude. See, on one stretch, last week we talked about how the Raiders didn't respect the Patriots because they called them finesse. You remember we discussed that last week? Raiders were saying, oh, the Patriots are a finesse team. So the Patriots, what do? They come out and they smack the Raiders in the mouth to the tune of 183 yards rushing against the number one rushing team in the league, no less. And you come back and you whack them in the mouth with one of your own. That's a great job right there. Okay? That's a great job. Kudos to the offense. Kudos to the game plan. Kudos to Bill O'Brien. Kudos to, you know, a little applause all the way around. Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. Obviously, kudos to Stephen Ridley, who's the one that really showed us something. Great step in the right direction. Way to be physical. Balanced offense. 30 run plays, 30 passes. Man, you can't get any more balanced than that. That's a great job. And then you go out and you lay an egg like that defensively at the end. You just basically you put your snooze alarm on. Like, okay, hurry up and get this the hell over with. Come on! I'm not buying it. That sets a tone. It sets a tempo. It sets a feeling. It's going to leave doubt in your mind now when you know you got to come up with a stop and you're going to wonder if you can make the stop. It just bothered me. It sat the wrong way with me. I didn't like it. Big nitpick there on that last drive of the ballgame. Meant nothing. I realized that. But then again, I think it could mean everything on down the line. All right. So there's a nitpick for you. Handing out a superlative, it's probably easy. It's probably too easy to say Wes Welker, although I did write that this week in Go Local Prov, but I guess we'll probably end up giving the nod to Welker from here on out. Guy's just having an unbelievable year. Yes, I know he's on pace to even snap Jerry Rice's single-season record. I don't think that's going to happen. Somehow, some way, someone's going to figure out a way to slow him down, which, as Tom Brady said yesterday as well, and actually said again this morning on EEI, it's going to open up opportunities for other guys. You know, I think we saw a couple of those go Chad Ochocinco's way. You know, Deion Branch caught his first pass in a couple of games with that touchdown pass. It's going to open up other opportunities. I certainly hope Aaron Hernandez comes back in a hurry. Because you saw what happened when they decided to double on a guy like Gronk, which there was safety help on Gronkowski against the Raiders. And if you're looking ahead a little bit to the Jets, which we will probably do a little today just because it is Jets week, and you know we'll turn to it in earnest tomorrow and Thursday, but, you know, if I'm the Jets, here's a simple thing. Why am I not jamming Welker at the line of scrimmage? I might put Revis on him. I know Revis, I think, was on Branch in the playoff game last year, which the Jets won, and you might like to think the Jets would probably pull out that videotape and look at that blueprint and say, okay, here's how we beat the Patriots again. Certainly stands to reason with that, but at the same time, knowing that, you know, Brady's going to look for Welker first. You got to take option one away. Got to take option one away. That's basic fundamental football. Take option one away. That's Welker. That's number 83. Jam him at the line. Put Revis on that. Whatever it takes, take the middle away. Make the Patriots go somewhere else to beat you. I said that before the Raider game. The Raiders clearly could not do it. I don't know what the hell the Raiders were thinking on defense, but the Raiders get an F. I realize they're facing Tom Brady, but they allowed the Patriots, I thought, to go balanced on offense. I don't know if it was so much New England's will as it was Oakland's stupidity. thought their game plan was horrid. But the Patriots will take it because now the Patriots are 3-1 and back tied for first in the division. So, congratulations to Cincinnati, by the way. But didn't we say a little bit last week that I'm just not sure yet about Buffalo? Well, I think we learned a little bit more about Buffalo, and it's going to get tougher from here on out from Buffalo. And so kudos for their win over the Patriots 2 weeks ago, and prepared to take a beat-in when you come to Foxborough. I think that's probably what will happen. But that leads me to my other little nitpick here, and this is where I really want your input today. In addition to your nitpicks and all of the things that you think are, you know, wrong with the team, which certainly there are many things to work on. But I'm of the opinion now, and reading many of my colleagues, you know, who cover pro football for a living, not just the Patriots, but around the league, I'm finding that there is one central theme. No one is playing defense. Our own Russell S. Baxter, pro football guru, he came up with this little tidbit I saw, I believe it was yesterday, how last Sunday, or this weekend, week four as it was the second all-time highest weekend for passing yards in NFL history. Now, either we've got a bunch of, you know, Johnny Hughes and Bart Starrs and Roger Staubachs and John Elways and Joe Montana's out there, or defenses blow. Which is it? This is where I want your input today. Does anybody play defense up to what we would consider championship standards? And I'm beginning to come around, and my friend Jim Donaldson from the Providence Journal, who, by the way, had an emergency appendectomy this week. So, Jim, get well soon, buddy. He wrote a column this last weekend I wanted to talk to him about, and he's laid up in the hospital. So, you know, geez, I hope he gets better. Jim's a great curmudgeon.
We'll get him next year.
Okay.
Next week? Next week,
okay. All right. Hopefully he'll recover in time. That's awful. A very painful thing to go through. But he wrote a column that really piqued my interest, and I said, you know what? He's dead on. Nobody's, and I'm just going to paraphrase here, but nobody's playing defense in this league. Patriots are not playing up to their standards, but I would argue nobody is playing up to their standards. Do you know which two teams in the NFL right now are last and next to last in pass defense? Would you believe the Patriots last? I'm sure you would. But how about the Green Bay Packers next to last? Would you believe that? Yet you don't think of the Packers as being, what, a terrible team. You think of the Packers as, oh, my goodness, that's the defending Super Bowl champion. That's a team that should be favored to get back to the Super Bowl. Everybody thinks, oh, the Packers, great defense. Their secondary is next to last in the league and giving up yards. Come on. So I'm asking you, who out there is playing defense? What teams have you seen? What numbers have you looked at? Let's share today, shall we? Today's an information share day. What have you seen out there? What blogs do you read? What stats do you go to? What teams have you actually watched play on television that you like their defense, that you see potential in? You're a smart person. You listen to this show. But you're a football fan. Share with me here. You've seen probably just as much as I have, sometimes if not more. So let's share. Webradio at patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398, or get me on Facebook. Robert in Seattle leads us off today. Robert, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
Oh, not a problem, John.
How's it going today?
I think the one thing about the Raiders game is before the game even started, I thought it was going to be a loss. I honestly thought the Raiders were going to come in and out-physical at almost every aspect,
right,
defensively and offensively, you know, running the ball and stopping,
right,
the run against the Patriots. After watching the game, I was impressed. I was impressed with how the offense was actually pushing the Raiders' defense down the field. And I think one thing that set the tone, or kind of like at the beginning of the game, you see Seymour go and do his playful thing with Tom Brady and, you know, brought him down and stuff. And then you just saw the eyes and Tom Brady going, that's it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's time to. But I was, let me see, getting to the balanced play. play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that at all. I didn't even think that they were going to go that route. I thought they were going to go spread offense. I think we all did. More passes.
Yeah.
And not be defended as tough as he was.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to be doubled all the way throughout the game. I just didn't think the Raiders had it in them with the strong safety help coming over the middle and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just provided much more opportunity for like Welker. I mean, yeah.
I thought what was really great, and you'll probably read this, is the fact that we got an interception from our defensive tackle again.
Yep.
And I think he's playing out there like a kid. I think Wilfork is just so happy. His eyes light up seeing that ball coming to him, and he's just like a kid running out there like a running back, like in Pop Warner. And
I'll give you this. I wouldn't want to tackle him, that's for sure.
No, I wouldn't want to take
it. Hard to bring his rear end down. There's no question about that.
While he was rumbling and stumbling, he just lowered his shoulder. He just wailed on some 300-pound lineman.
I know.
It was like bumper cars or something like that.
How scary is that, by the way, wailing on some 300-pound lineman?
Yeah, I know.
You got to be a big dude to wail on a 300-pound lineman.
I think what the great thing is about the defensive line is they are the point of attack for the defense. They're the only ones that seem to get it and to understand. I think the rest of the defense, the linebackers, showed up a little bit. But I want to say the defensive backs, it's kind of like they're slow to the reaction of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like they're surprised, oh my gosh, the ball's coming, and I'm five steps away from the player, or something along those lines. But I did like seeing the run defense. The run defense for the whole defense, I mean, even the cornerbacks, they stop the run as best they can. The last time I only think maybe there was either two or three plays that McFadden actually broke a decent game against the defense.
Mm-hmm.
It was the two long ones. One was like 40 yards and the other one was like 25. But I didn't really see McFadden take it to the defense like he did in previous games.
Right.
And I was impressed with that. But still, when it came to pass defense, it seems like the cornerbacks and the safeties are two or three steps away from the player. They're not up in their grill. I don't see bump and run as much. I see more reaction defense coming from them, and it's poor. And I, just like I was saying earlier, I want to say two weeks ago, it's going to take time for the defense to get back into what? Decent shape like last year.
Well, I mean, decent shape like last year? I mean,
well, I would say last year they were in their prime. Let's put it this way. Say the end, let's say the Pittsburgh game when they played Cleveland, then they went in to play Pittsburgh. The defense was prime.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had Pittsburgh's number on a good portion of the plays.
Okay.
I would say that would be a 10, to whereas right now I would say the defense is playing at a 4 or 3. You know?
Okay.
They're not up
All right.
to snuff.
Okay.
They're not up to snuff like I would expect them to
right.
be. I don't expect them to be up to snuff until after Thanksgiving.
Well, it may very well be the case.
Yeah.
You know, I realize that it's a work in progress. It's going to be slow. We talked about this last week and the week before and the week before that. And it seems as if they're making at least slow, if not steady progress. I worry that, you know, they might have taken a bit of a step back this week just because they're going to be without Mayo for a little while. That doesn't mean that I don't have any faith in Guyton, but let's face it, if Guyton were better, he'd be in there. So, you know, you've got to have somebody step up and make some plays here, or at least lead this defense. And to me, that's part of the issue. And that's something I think that Mayo did do exceedingly well. Now, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Is anybody out there playing defense? the way that they should be playing championship
that's
defense?
Thing. I don't see the whole league actually. Maybe Baltimore. I'd say Baltimore is playing good defense, but yet everybody's still passing like crazy.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, you know, Baltimore seems to be close, but yet
the Patriots, the run defense is there,
okay? Right?
But
Baltimore, if they didn't have the turnovers, and the Jets didn't have the mistakes this last week, Baltimore probably loses that game. I mean, I think the Jets lost that game more than Baltimore won it on Sunday night.
I think one of the biggest factors is that there's too many injuries as well. There's a lot of injuries at the beginning of this season, and we sort of predicted it because a lot of people weren't. Their off season wasn't as refined mm-hmm. as like previous years or mm-hmm. or maintained, but it's kind of like saying Chris Johnson was holding out, and look at his production this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I still see like maybe week 7, week 8, teams will start clicking after their bye week. Teams will start, refining their defenses to whereas, okay, this is what we can do, and we'll stay away from what we can't do, you know.
Yeah.
I would like to see more nickel coming out of our defense.
I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see that, Robert, a hell of a lot more from a lot of teams. I mean, the Patriots played almost exclusively nickel the week previous. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be a given. I'm not sure. I honestly didn't notice as much this week, and maybe that's because I think the Patriots were probably a little bit more concerned with the running game and trying to slow down Darren McFadden, which they did do for the most part, with the exception of basically one play.
I think with Albert Hainsworth out for the Raiders game, I think we saw more 3-4, and we saw some great tackling from Spikes. To whereas, sure, maybe he didn't get folks at the line of scrimmage or behind the line of scrimmage like he should have, but to say that you're stopping McFadden, on a 3 or 4 yard gain. That to me, in my mind, is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as long as he's not breaking a 20-yard run every time he's touching the ball. I was more worried the fact that he was going to take over the game.
Okay,
I was thinking the running game of the Raiders was just going to keep on running, play action, running, play action, and I was just like, oh man, come on. Don't lose this game. But I was just happy. And with them scoring late in the game, that like you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about it. But I do understand where you're coming from. Is like, come on, you can't be so porous. Why are you giving up so much yards at the end of the game? You guys got to hold strong. You have to finish off the game. You can't just let it just happen. You have to finish off the game and make a statement.
Right.
And that's the one thing. It's kind of like saying you need to go for the jugular when you finish off somebody, and it wasn't that killer instinct,
right?
You know, and it's kind of like also a knockout punch.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you know he's wavering, and you just do an uppercut and hopefully put him down,
right?
And the defense didn't do that.
Well, I think that's actually a pretty good analogy, and I think that's where, I think you started to see at least a little bit of improvement because of the red zone D. But I'm not sure the Patriots are capable of getting there. I again, you like to think that before this season is done, they're going to, but they're not right now. They're continuing to get banged up. I'm not so sure that we're going to see any tremendous improvement for at least in the immediate future. I don't know about the long term. I think the long term is all going to depend on how quickly a guy like Mayo and or Hainsworth get back.
I do have a question for Eric.
Eric's not here today.
Oh, he is not.
Okay. Yeah, he's off.
Well,
on...
I have a question anyways.
Okay, go. He's off on Tuesdays, just so you know.
Do we know what happened to Woodhead? Did he get injured in the game?
Left ankle injury. Apparently, and the Boston Herald, I think, was talking about this earlier today. Apparently, it's just a sprain, but there's no break or ligament damage. And it looks like it'll probably be just a day-to-day, week-to-week thing.
So more than likely, he will be limited for the Jets.
Again, it just...
We'll see Jarvis and Ridley go 1-2 punch.
We don't really know until the injury report starts to come out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So,
all right.
Well, hey, John.
Yeah, Robert.
We got to watch the Red River rivalry now.
Yeah, baby, I know, okay, so. I know.
hopefully these two teams come over to the Pac-12.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
In the next year,
so. Well, I don't. I think they're going to make the Big 12 work. I think that's probably a better spot for them.
Yeah, that's true. Anyways,
thanks, man.
Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the week.
You got it. You too. Talk to you soon. All right, Robert in Seattle leading us off today. What are your thoughts? Webradio@patriots.com. The Ace Ticket Hotline is open and available at 508-298-0398. And Facebook page is open. Hey, I have to give at least another little plaudit here to, you know, Pete Shepard, who does the show after this, because Pete was saying this last week as well. He doesn't believe that anybody right
Joe,
now.
Joe Hijimi.
He might have said that too. But you just like busted his chops, Kev. Come on. Yeah, I know. But he did say last week, he said, who's playing defense right now in the NFL? Nobody. I love how Pete likes to generalize, but that's exactly what's going on here. Okay? Who's playing defense in the NFL? Realistically, that's my question to you. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Hit me up on Facebook. Also need your nitpicks. Slow today. Are you happy with this team? Come on, really? You really happy with this team, or are you just sort of like in an accepting mode? You just accept this team. This is the way they're going to be, and I hope they'll get better, but get off my back today? What? You're completely happy with this team. This is what we do here, people. We pick nits. We break it down in minutia. We talk about the bad things. How do we make them good things? How do we turn it around? Need your nitpicks. And then also your opinions on defense in the NFL. I don't think anybody's playing it. This may be as good as it gets. Webradio@patriots.com. All right, we get to some of the emails. Want some of your thoughts on defense as well, coming up in the playbook.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights, all right from the palm of your hand.
So, what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pat's interception, yes! Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you are frightening the seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Web radio at patriots.com. You got the phone number, 508-298-0398, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Facebook page, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. Submit the friend request. If you haven't done so, we'll answer it. Then you can post, you can message, you can chat. There you go. There's a lot of different ways to get us here, okay? I just learned that the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you know, it's in syndicated form now. Meredith Vieira, who's a Rhode Island native, by the way, and former host of the Today Show, she still hosts the syndicated version of the game show. It's coming to Providence next week for auditions. I want to go.
Could be your calling.
I know.
You
want
a useless trivia rolling around up there?
You think will Fred let me out of doing the show one day next week if I have
to
go audition?
I think if you got the nod, I think that would be a good excuse to miss a show.
Okay. Well, I have to go and stand in line for auditions though
I don't know if he'll let you do that though. I don't know if he'll let
Yahoos.
Fred would say, you know, you can go, but he'd want a cut, you know, if you won.
I'll give him a cut. I don't mind giving him a cut.
See, if it was the sports version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
I love that show, though, by the way.
You and I would do a lot better. I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I don't know that much about, I don't know, like pop culture and stuff like that. There always seems to be questions about, like, you know, what actress or whatever won something or other, and I can never come up with it.
Right. Well, actually, I've done pretty well in the past playing that game while watching at home. But the problem is you know that if you actually got on the show, they're going to throw up questions that you actually have no knowledge of. So, I think it's a crapshoot. I really do. I think it's a complete crapshoot. But I want to try to go anyway. If I could figure out, work out a time to go audition, I think I'd do it next week. Just for grins and giggles, huh? All right. Let's see if we can get some issues taken care of here. By the way, I mentioned, all right, who's playing defense right now? Who's playing defense? Which is the question that I'm asking you. What have you seen? What have you noticed statistically? Who's playing defense? The number one team right now in the NFL in total defense? Hold on to your hats, kids. The Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. Yeah, Cincinnati Bengals. Giving up about 276 yards a game. Pittsburgh is second at 277. That one you can believe, but Pittsburgh is somewhat offensively challenged right now, and they may be without a guy like Ben Roethlisberger for a while. Baltimore is third statistically at about 284, 285. So Robert from Seattle, when he called a short while ago, mentioning that, you know, well, maybe Baltimore is playing defense. Well, okay, I'll buy that. But then again, watching that game against the Jets the other night, didn't you think that the Jets lost it more than Baltimore won it? Who scares you defensively? By the way, the Dallas Cowboys are fourth and the Redskins are fifth, just to wrap up the top five. Just to wrap up the top five. And you're going to get Dallas, and you're going to get Washington not too far distant future. One other thing here. I've got the passing stats that I talked about just a short while ago as well, but the computer's kind of moving slowly here. So let me see if I can get it to reboot momentarily. The complete list of passing statistics and teams. Come on! Why does this always do this when you need it? Holy crap! Don't you just love this? This makes for great radio, by the way.
That's the good one, too.
I know. I click away here on this computer all the time. And when I need something, let's screw with Rook today. Today has been a mess with John Day, by the way. Okay? Not for nothing. I'm not going to gripe and complain, but it's very, very much been a Monday, even though it's supposed to be Tuesday on the calendar. All right. Patriots dead last, as I said, in pass defense. They're giving up almost 369 yards a game in passing. The 31st ranked pass defense is Green Bay. They give up 336 yards per game in passing. And then Miami, followed by Chicago and Minnesota. Those are the bottom five teams. Chicago, Miami, Green Bay, and New England are all giving up more than 300 yards per game in the air, which is pretty sorry, I have to admit. Pittsburgh, by the way, is only giving up about 158 yards per game in the air, which is certainly a big reason why they are second overall in total defense in the league. But then you go to look at total offense, and for instance, you got Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore as the top three in total defense, as I mentioned, right? Okay, total offense, you have Baltimore, you have Pittsburgh, let's see, at 13th, Baltimore at 14th, Cincinnati at 20th. So middling, pretty much in the middle, and in Cincinnati's case, lower middle of the NFL. The teams that are whizzing it up and down the field, New England, New Orleans, Carolina, Philadelphia, and yes, Green Bay, aren't doing so hot defensively. Look at the teams that are winning. New England's 3-1. You have Buffalo 3-1. You have Baltimore 3-1. So Baltimore probably the lone exception to the rule. Houston and Tennessee are both 3-1. San Diego's 3-1. Washington and New York are 3-1. All right, you can throw Washington into that mix. Green Bay and Detroit are the only two 4-0 teams in the league. Saints 3-1, Bucks 3-1 after last night's win. San Francisco's 3-1. All right, what defensive stalwarts are in there after 4 weeks? Statistically speaking, you could say Baltimore, and you could say Washington, and that's about it. Everybody else has pretty much got an offensive tinge to their resume so far. All right, I'm generalizing a little bit, but I hope that you see the point that I'm going with this. This league offensively has progressed to the point where it's getting more and more difficult to stop opposing teams. Now, that doesn't excuse the Patriots. I'm not making excuses. If you thought that's where I was going here, no, far from it. In fact, I'm probably the opposite end of that. No way I'm going to let the guys off the hook, nor should you. I'm pointing out merely, though, that the emphasis is somewhat different right now, internally. And that emphasis is going to have to figure out a way to change itself over. Now, maybe the whole, 2-for-5 in the red zone thing this last week against the Raiders will help sort of create that mindset. We can hope that that might be something to build upon. That might be a bit of a building block. Might be something we can hold on to. What do you think, Big Al in Valdosta, Georgia? What do you think?
Well, the Cincinnati Bengals are the number one defensive team, did you say?
Yeah. Yeah, statistically, number one.
It may have something to do, John, frankly, with the opponents they've been playing.
I was getting ready to go there. Yes, sir. You're absolutely right.
You know, I've got them playing Cleveland, Denver, San Francisco, and Buffalo. That's... Although San Francisco and Buffalo are both 3-1, so, I think that's, you know, and it isn't going to get any worse next week. They're at Jacksonville.
No. Nope.
So they've had a pretty, then after that, they got Indianapolis at home, who's 0 for the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? Your Cincinnati Bengals could make the playoffs this year.
Well, I'm not ready to write them in there just like I'm not ready to write Buffalo in there yet. But the point here is that I think defense this year, with just a couple of exceptions, is fool's gold.
Well, I think you're right. I think that it's hard to tell. You know, Bill Russell used to say this about basketball. Is it good offense or bad defense? How can you really tell, you know? Is it a white zebra with black stripes, or is it a black zebra with white stripes? Which one is it? You know? You don't know. So I think it's probably, if I had to guess, I don't know it's so much that nobody is playing defense, but I think it's just a little easier to play offense these days with the way the rule book is and the way it's being interpreted.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You can't crush the quarterback anymore. And again, like we've discussed before, I support the new rules on not crushing the quarterback, but I don't think that the officials have quite yet figured out where the strike zone is yet. You know, they seem to get that wrong, where decent hits on the quarterback are flagged, and I think that has a chilling effect on the next time I'm in there and I pull up because I don't want to get the flag.
Okay.
You
know what? I think that's, you know what? Let's hold it right there for a second now, because I think that's actually, I think you're heading in the right direction. That could have something to do with the lack of attack mentality that we're seeing defensively overall. And because of that, there might be more of a, I don't know, maybe there's more of a trickle-down effect on a lot of guys who are playing defense out there, where they're just willing to let guys, you know, get what they can get and let them cut out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
I won't argue that point. That might have some merit.
Might have something to do with it.
Yeah,
you know, it's just easier to play offense, and so you're just going to, you know, have the bend but don't break mentality and just hope you can hold them to a field goal, you know? And if you figure if you hold them to a field goal, that's almost as good as stopping them,
right,
you know, in the past.
Right.
I don't know. But it just seems like that there has to be some explanation for all these. I refuse to believe that the defenses are just that bad, or that they did a worse job during the lockout than the offenses did as far as being on the same page and staying together and working out and all that.
I think
that was probably across the board.
Yeah, Al, I think you hit on something else here. I mean, it stands to reason that because there's so much synchronization. Pardon me.
I got you.
Pardon me, I got a little Pete Shepherd in me there.
I'm with you. I'm with you, big guy.
I believe because it takes so much of that.
A frog in my throat.
Yeah. A few other things, too, including my tonsils, that you would think that offense would take a little bit of time, a little extra time to get together, and it wouldn't take the defense as much time to hang together, but we're seeing the opposite happen.
I think you're right.
That was the point I was getting to.
You know, I am not one of these people that's banging on our defense, and I'll get to my nitpick in a second, but
yep.
I just think our defense needs to get people back on the field. I think specifically Dowling and Haynesworth. Need to get back on the field.
And now Mayo.
It's too bad about Mayo, and he's going to be gone for a while, but you know what? I was encouraged with Spikes. I thought he played a hell of a game Sunday.
Yeah, he seemed to fly to the ball a lot more. Maybe
he was flying around.
Maybe
out there.
He got read the Riot Act. I would also, you know, tell
yeah,
you that we
he
need,
might have been.
We need to see some Jermaine Cunningham. We need to see more pressure put on. I mean, Sean Ellis, I thought, had a horrible game. He whiffed on a couple of tackle attempts too, especially in the open field. And you know, I need to see Sean Ellis put a hit on somebody. If not put a hit, you know, at least look like he's putting pressure and collapsing the pocket, because I don't see it. Maybe the Jets had it right about Sean Ellis. Because I don't see it.
Our people, they might have had it right about, well, time will tell, but I think when we get our people in there, we can collapse the pocket, and I thought we were collapsing the pocket pretty well in the San Diego game, but you just got to tip your cap to their quarterback. He just... he just overcame that and stepped up in there and whipped it downfield. He had tall receivers, whatever. I mean, but I think the San Diego game, if we can somehow duplicate that or something close to that from week to week, as far as collapsing the pocket and pressuring, I think under a mere mortal quarterback, I think you're gonna see some, you know, some picks, some more picks, although we had picks against Rivers, but I mean, you know, more picks, a couple of sacks, whatever. I think that he was good enough that even though we had pressure on him, he overcame that. And I don't think that's gonna happen with a lot of the quarterbacks in the league.
Right. Right. Yep.
But anyway, here's my nitpick.
Okay, go.
And it's kind of a repeat of the week one nitpick. But again, it just drives me nuts. Forgive me. This is a pet peeve of mine. And, you know, I know we won the game and, you know, it's a win. A W is a W and all that. But I'm looking at, we've got the ball. We just got the ball on downs from the Oakland Raiders with 2+ minutes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Got the ball on about their 25, 30 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The game is over at this point, John. The game is over.
Right.
At this point, we've got an 18-point lead and the ball with a little over 2 minutes to play.
Okay.
Okay. What should we do right now? We should run the ball and start the clock.
Instead, we're play action passing.
Run play action passing. Brady's back there running for his life.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's a good one.
That had to be. And I've been watching football since 1966, and you know, you see a lot of dumb things over the years, but that's got to be in my top five.
That
play call right there.
Yeah.
Is in my top five.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, one of the top five dumbest things I've ever seen on a football field.
You mean
we did it?
You mean right up there?
Now, I don't know if it's O'Brien or if it's Belichick or Brady changed the play. You know, it's kind of like you say. You know, it's not your job to know all that detail.
Right.
You know.
You mean does that rank up there? Does that rank up there with fourth and two?
You know, I think fourth and two is a lot more justifiable than this. This was just plain stupid. This was George Bush stupid.
Yeah.
And that's saying something. Because that guy's got the brains of a gerbil. And this thing was right up there with that.
Where's the drum hit on that one? Kevin's not going to get it.
I don't have a gerbil. I was just trying to think. I have a turkey, but I have a turkey I'll set for Thanksgiving with no gerbil.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was
unbelievable.
Bad call.
If I had a brick, I would have thrown it through the TV.
Yeah.
I just couldn't. I was just so, I'm sitting there, no, he's not running around back there with the ball.
Yeah.
On first and 10 with 2 minutes to go and an 18-point lead. He's not doing that.
Right.
Tell me he's not doing that.
Right.
So, I don't know, whatever.
No, it's a good point.
It is what it is. We won, you know, the ends justify the means, whatever.
It is what it is.
But I'm telling you, John, we got to get out of these habits. We got to figure out a way to finish these games off, because we do have a great offense.
Yep.
And we're going to be ahead down the stretch. And
as long as we don't shoot ourselves in the foot, because that's what happened against Buffalo. It took four picks, one of them a pick six, and you lost the game. So as long as you can avoid games like that, you should not only be in every game, you should have a great chance to win every game.
And everybody's blaming the defense, aren't they? It's all the defense.
Which is exactly, that's exactly,
you know,
right.
And I'm sorry, you win as a team, you lose as a team, you screw up as a team, you do well as a team, whatever. I know it's cliche, but I actually believe in that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, it's not all about our defense being bad. Our defense, I think, has potential to get better if we get guys back on the field. And if we can just be a little more intelligent with the ball in the last 5 minutes, you know, we'll probably still win the games. And then, you know, Big Al won't have a heart attack.
Sounds good, Al, but I'm right there next to you, brother, so.
Did you notice that too, or was that just
No, that was another one. That was absolutely, it was on my list, but you kind of marked it off for me. So good job out of you. Good job out of you. There's no reason to be doing that. I mean, I had a big problem with, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the show, but my big problem was this team relaxing on defense and giving up that last score.
Well, that's, you know, you could say something there.
I mean,
that was certainly awful.
You
know, I think the defense, yeah, it is garbage time, and I believe in garbage time. People don't believe in it, But I think that that's, you know,
garbage time is,
you,
is very legitimate, and there's no reason for it. There's no reason for garbage time to be garbage. It's still a ball game. Keep playing until the clock says zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you shouldn't be concerned with the frickin' score, and that's what I think that they're concerned with. They're concerned with the scoreboard. You're not supposed to be paying attention to the scoreboard.
Well, Gino Cappelletti mentioned on the radio, because I had him tuned in, that that he thought that that play call that we just discussed on first and 10 from the 30 may have kind of revved up the Raiders a little bit, where they were a little bit more motivated to go down and score
maybe
than they otherwise would have been.
Maybe. And you know what? That if he made that point, because I didn't hear it, but if he made that point, that's a great point. It is a great point. You're right. You're play action passing when you're up 31-13. And what are you doing? You're trying to rub it in? What's the motive here? And that might
what's
have just
point?
That you just allowed Oakland to come right back at you. Now, I'm not so sure that teams, you know, can turn it on or off emotionally at the drop of a dime like that apparently would.
Right.
But why chance fate? Why chance fate? Why tweak their nose? Why make them like a little puppy and rub their nose in their mess? You know?
I'm not sure either. And I think you make a good point, but I would just say this, Gino certainly played the game, you know.
Yeah.
And if it jumped out at him and he thought it was important enough to mention,
yeah.
You know, I've never played a down of organized football in my life. I love football. I've never, you know.
Yeah.
The man played the game professionally at a pretty high level.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's a Hall of Famer. I totally agree with that. I mean, if you're on the sideline and you notice that, yeah, that might get my dander up. It's like, what the hell are these guys doing? I'm going to go out there and whack somebody. You know, I'm getting out there right now and I'm going to punch somebody in the mouth. And so
we're going to trade this off.
Yeah.
We're going to trade this off right now.
Exactly. And so that's probably what had a lot to do with how the Raiders got down the field. The Patriots just kind of let them waltz into the end zone, and that whole thing just stunk to high heaven. I thought the whole, you know, last 6, 7, 8 minutes of the game was horrible, you know, save for Wilfork's interception, which I think came right around that mark.
Well, John, it's been great talking to you as always. I'm gonna hang up and listen to other people, give other people a chance, and then I know at some point I'll listen to what you think about the Jets, but this is gonna be a great week with the Jets coming in.
I'm ready.
We got them the third week on a road trip, so.
Yeah I'm ready.
Statistically, that
should be a good thing.
Our hands to have when you play a team when they're third, it's their third road game in a row, but it's still the Jets and it should be a super game. So.
Should be, absolutely.
Have a good one, man.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. Thanks, man. Big Allen, Valdosta, Georgia. That's good stuff. All right, I got to mention this. Can I mention this, Kev, at least right now for tomorrow? Yeah, I think we should, because we're going to take a break here in a moment anyway. By the way, webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And we're up on Facebook. All right, you need your nitpicks from yesterday, or excuse me, from Sunday. Well, yesterday too, for that matter. Nitpicks and defense around the NFL. My question to you is, who's impressed you defensively right now in the National Football League? What have you noticed? What have you seen? What tendencies? What plays? What players? Who's come up big? Come on, exchange the info here. What have you witnessed? So I'm looking for those two things out from you today, but tomorrow, in the playbook, Eric Scalavino, of course, will be back with us. And then at 2:40 p.m. tomorrow Eastern Time, my friend Adam Schefter, NFL insider from ESPN, is going to join us here in the playbook. And we'll preview the Patriots and Jets tomorrow afternoon. So I'd say that would be appointment listening, wouldn't you? We're back inside the playbook coming up.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Whoa, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Honey, ready to go curtain shopping?
Absolutely. There's nothing more I'd rather be doing on Patriots game day than helping make home drapery decisions.
Now with NFL Mobile on your phone, you can enjoy going just about anywhere this football season. Watch live games on Thursday and Sunday nights all right from the palm of your hand.
So what do you think of these lilac-colored valances?
Pats interception, yes!
Sure, those will hang nicely next to the wall. It'll just light up the room.
We should shop more often.
Oh, you bet. Anytime. He's at the 50, the 40!
NFL Mobile, only from Verizon. Your gateway to live NFL games and more.
The 30, the 20, the 10! Booyah! Touchdown, Patriots!
Shh, you're frightening a seamstress.
Oh, that tieback is so money.
Text NFL to 8915 to download NFL Mobile today. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook for a Tuesday. It's week five. It's Jets week. We'll begin to preview the Jets, specifically the matchups and such, tomorrow again, approximately 2:40 p.m. Eastern time with Adam Schefter from ESPN, formerly from NFL Network. You see him all the time on ESPN as an NFL insider with Chris Mortensen. And be good to talk to Adam again. You know, here's a guy that's obviously got tremendous demands on his time with his own job, much less for, you know, talk show hosts and other things that he, you know, will do on the side. But if he can work it in, he usually has done it in the past. And so he said, tomorrow's a great day. It's a big game this week, so let's do it in the playbook. And we're going to do it in the playbook. Excellent. All right. Keeping up with the theme of Nitpick Tuesday, Tim says, you said Baltimore just got turnovers and that the Jets lost it more than Baltimore won it. Well, Baltimore forced the turnovers by rushing the passer and relentless pressure defense, something we've sorely lacked thus far. No arguments there. Although nobody seems to be playing defense, the Pats are amongst the worst of a bad bunch, at least against the pass. That being said, I'm sure the offseason player organized workouts were of the pass skeleton type, timing and no tackling. There must be a knock-on from that, too. The new CBA limits the number of full pad practices, too, does it not? That's absolutely correct, Tim. There's a certain number of full pad practices, at least in the preseason, that you're only allowed to get into. So, in that regard, all things could be a factor here. Baltimore, though, the one reason that they seem to be somewhat effective on defense is because they are getting pressure. Pressure is everything, and this is where the Patriots have tried thus far defensively. This is why they went and have stacked their roster with, you know, 20 defensive linemen during the course of preseason, and why they open the season carrying 11 of these guys on the roster as opposed to carrying more linebackers, because they wanted to make a concerted effort to get after the passer, collapse the pocket, get to the quarterback. So I think the idea was there for the Patriots to do that. It's just, in practicality, they're not getting it done. So you have to question the, at least at this stage, and again, it's still early. Yes, it's only 4 weeks, and I believe I said originally a minimum of 6 weeks. So that gives us a couple more weeks to work here, right? We wanted to get to the bye week, and I think that's probably a pretty good. I think by the bye week, the Patriots should have a pretty good handle on who they are. Bill Belichick has said after 4 games, you should know who you are. Let's hope he's not entirely accurate. Because I think we all see that this is a Super Bowl caliber offense. But it is a missing the playoffs altogether defense. So what does that leave you? Hopefully a couple of weeks and still which to work. And as both of our callers have said this far, a chance to get some healthy guys back to where you can continue to develop. And maybe after Thanksgiving, once you get into December especially on the stretch run, maybe you're starting to develop a playoff caliber defense. We saw a sign this last week. They limited red zone opportunities. They held Oakland to 2 out of 5. Again, it's Oakland. But we saw some encouragement, even though there was plenty not to like. Michael says, I got nitpicks, John. This is the second week in a row I'm stating. We are playing flag football in the NFL. Oh, my God. Gary Guyton, I saw him jogging on at least a dozen plays. A nickel package, that caller said? I'm nitpicking that. We got injuries in our defensive backfield. We're lucky if we can field a team back there without using converted safeties that can't play safety. By the way, give me some old-time Patriot defensive linemen. I would kill... here we go. For some Bobby Hamilton, Ted Washington, big man on the field. Outside of Will Fort, the only guy I see out there trying hard at times is Love. Thank you, Michael. And Kyle Love hurt himself this week, although he did get back into the game in the second half. I don't have any problems with that one at all either. I totally agree with that. We Patriots, you know, brought Albert Haynesworth in here for a reason, and yet Haynesworth's got a back injury, and so we're not able to utilize Albert Haynesworth for what you brought him in here for. So that being said, what good is he? You brought in, you drafted Rasai Dowling with the first pick of the second round. Because he had a little bit of size, had great athleticism to play the corner, could maybe match up a little bit better with some of the bigger, more physical receivers that are out there. And been on the field, but for what? Half a dozen plays, I think, this year? Seems like it anyway. Not much more than that. So I ask the question, what good is he? Can't stay healthy, can't get on the field. What good are they? I know injuries are a part of the game. I know injuries are a part of the game, but when did we start using injuries as an excuse? They're not. One guy gets hurt. Next guy's got to step in. Another guy gets hurt. Another guy's got to step in. We're not getting the step in part. We're not even getting the part before a guy gets hurt done. And that's my problem. I think there's been some mis-evaluating going on in terms of what guys have left in the tank. You got to start thinking. Were they right about Haynesworth? Were they accurate on Dowling? We don't know. They can't stay healthy enough to get on the field. Jeez. Steve says, Steve in Albany, where do I start in finding nits to pick? How about we pull up tape from weeks 1 to 3 and replay everything that has been said about the defense in Ocho Cinco? Saying anything more about them would be just beating a dead horse. So how about them Cowboys? All right. Okay. So, yeah, I guess I could see that. You feel like and I don't think we're beating on Ocho Cinco as much. I think we're starting to see some slow improvement. He was targeted a bit more this last week. But as far as the defense, is that what we're doing? Are we beating the dead horse here? Here's what I want to see with the defense. And I realize it's getting harder to do this because, yeah, injuries are playing a factor. Again, not an excuse, but the other guys now have to get in there and step up. See, injuries really are, okay, you don't necessarily have what you think are your best players in a game, but an injury is really nothing more than an opportunity for another guy to play. You have a 53-man roster for a reason because you feel like they're the best 53 that can play. For you, in any given week. All right, so you got 53 guys out there. That stands to reason that your two guys as a middle linebacker or your two guys at defensive tackle should be on a par with your one guy. Should be, because, again, there's only 53 spots here. Doesn't leave a lot of room for error. Maybe your one guy is slightly better, but you shouldn't have much of a drop-off. It's not like college football where you have to go to your fourth-team walk-on because the starting three cornerbacks in front of him have all been, you know, had their legs broken. It's not that way in the NFL. By the way, Patriots re-signed Ross Ventrone. Thought you'd want to know that. Guy goes back and forth between being signed and being released like a yo-yo. But they need some help, apparently, in the secondary again. So, Ross Ventrone back in today. So, I guess the point is that I think that, you know, just because you're playing second-teamers or second-line guys or second-unit guys, I don't think there should be a tremendous amount of drop-off. Other guys have to step up and do it. Because the margin for error should be so slow, you would think that having the opportunity to keep the job and not give it back to the injured player when the injured player returns should be motivation enough for the guys who are currently in there playing. Gary Guyton, for one. Kyle Love and Gerard Warren, for others. You know, on the defense, you've got to make the play. We went out and brought these defensive linemen in here to create pressure situations, and we're not seeing it. That's my biggest nitpick. Absolute, far and away, biggest nitpick. All right. Nate says, I noticed that the secondary started the game bad, but in the second half I did see improvement. Do you think the secondary will get even better, or is this the best they're going to get? It's a legitimate question, Nate. I don't think it's the best they're going to get, but unless you see health, it might be. I've seen some roundabout improvement by McCourty. I thought McCourty flew to the ball this last week a little bit better. I thought he was much more physical. And a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that they were keeping an extra man in the box for a lot of the game because they wanted to defend against McFadden, Darren McFadden. And so I thought he shed his blockers a lot better. So against the run, when they know that a team's going to try to come pound them, I thought the Patriots actually had that fairly well game planned, with the exception of the 141-yard run. I thought they had it pretty well game planned. I had no problems with that at all. But if you're in there with an extra guy in the box, then you have to give Jason Campbell a little bit of credit for, you know, torching him a couple of times, you know, over the, you know, through the pass. All right, that's fine. Guys can play in the league on every team. Oakland is an improved team. There's no question. You saw that. I saw it. We all saw that. Oakland's better. It's not the same Oakland as from a couple of years ago. They've made some strides. I don't think they're there yet, but they've made some strides. I also think you should give a big hand to Richard Seymour for being way too geeked, because he clearly was amped and jumped off and a couple of big penalties that got, you know, kept drives going early in the ballgame. So thank you, Richard. Dave says, the only teams that seem to be playing defense is the Ravens. They're outplaying, or it says they're playing their typical Ravens pressure intense defense. I'm not saying they are consistently solid, but they are still the Ravens. They are who we think they are. With Lewis Reed and Ladarius Webb, it seems that they're going to continue to be the identity of the team. Good point. And I think that's come up before, and it'll probably continue to come up. You'd have to like the Ravens right now if they can ever continue to, you know, Joe Flacco can get out of his own way, then, you know, that team scares me more than any in the AFC right now. Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore. Baltimore, Baltimore, Baltimore. They're 3-1. Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, all three are 2-2 in the AFC North. Baltimore concerns me right now as a playoff slash Super Bowl contender in the AFC. Give me another team that concerns me right now. Sounds crazy to say it. This was Russell Baxter's favorite last year. Houston. I think the Texans will have to be reckoned with before the year is over. I still think San Diego is going to be a team that will have to be reckoned with. Patriots, fortunately for them, have a tiebreaker with San Diego. Baltimore right now scares me more than any other team in the AFC. Frankly, that includes the Jets, too. I think the Jets are a mess. We're going to get into more of this tomorrow. I think the Jets are a mess. Have you been reading some of the stuff? What's going on there? 20 type of game I think they're a mess. There's some stuff going on internally there. There's some guys that are not on the same page with the, when the Jet, where the Jets are concerned. I think that hopefully will play into the Patriots' advantage this week. But then again, be careful about teams that appear to be wounded. Because sometimes they just decide to shuck it all and say, to hell with it, we're going to hit somebody in the mouth, which is what I like to advocate doing when all things else are going bad. I'm going to hit somebody today. And Patriots had best be ready for the Jets' absolute best shot. You know, a team, an animal, most dangerous when what? They're backed into a corner, and the Jets are getting backed into a corner. This is the third of three straight road games. Mentioned that in the last hour. They've lost both of their road games really in very poor fashion. I really do believe that they shot themselves more in the foot than Baltimore beat them, although I guess we can give some credit to Baltimore as our last emailer suggested. But, you know, I still feel like if the Jets were playing, you know, how we know the Jets can play, I think they'd probably find a way to win that game. They've done it before. Jets have come from behind. They've won on the road. They've shown they can do that even this year. But the last two games, they've been hammered. And they've been hammered because largely they're making their own mistakes. And so be wary of the New York Jets this week. Be very wary. I think this is either going to be, you know, a very rough afternoon for the Patriots, or the Patriots are going to beat the crap out of them like they did last year in the regular season. May not be 45-3, but it'll be a dominant performance. One way or the other. I haven't decided which way I'm leaning just yet, but I can certainly see that because the Jets are sort of teetering right now. Go do a little research and go read up on the Jets, and we'll reconvene here in the playbook tomorrow, and we'll get your opinions on the Jets then. Tiff in Wisconsin. I saw the Ravens play good defense against that vaunted Jets offense. I saw the Jets play defense against that vaunted Ravens QB. No, seriously. I think the Texans played pretty good defense, or do the Steelers suck this year? I think it's a little of both. Although the Texans gave up 40 against the Saints also turned the ball over in that game. I live in Wisconsin. Packer fans are complaining about the Packers' defense. They're worried about their defense. Hey, right, Tiff? We're in the same boat here. In New England, we're worried about our defense. Same thing. And yet the Patriots and the Packers are two teams that everybody thinks, you know, could end up being in the Super Bowl. Tiff says, as a whole, defenses just aren't very good this season. What you need is a defensive playmaker or a significant defensive stop. Ding, 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 ding. Racket. It's exactly what I've been saying from week one. Good job, Tiff. You got to have a player step up and make a play-e. That's all. That's all you need in this day and age right now. That's it. Defenses as a whole aren't very good. Why? This is cyclical in the National Football League, people. Offenses rule right now. With all the spread, with all the pass first, run second mentality, with all the way the personnel has changed, the defenses have not caught up personnel-wise with what offenses are throwing at them. They will eventually. All things in life and in the National Football League are cyclical. What goes around comes around. Whatever cliche you want to use here. So you need playmakers. Pat Chung is a playmaker. And Tip points out, Chung picking off that horrible pass in the end zone was a game changer. Absolutely. Chung is the one playmaker the Patriots have in the secondary. McCourty could be. He was last year at it for a time, for a spell, as the season progressed. But we need McCourty to be this year. And he hasn't gotten there yet. Linebacking core. I don't know. I don't see any. I thought Mayo might be. But I think Mayo can only be a playmaker provided we get more pressure from the front four. And now we're going to be without Mayo from anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, it looks like, with a alleged sprained MCL, according to all the published reports that are out there. I don't know about anybody else. Not a linebacking core. I really don't. Spikes, well, okay, that's the first thing I've seen out of Brandon Spikes this year, this past week. I hope that continues. Maybe he'll take it upon himself to be the playmaker. Defensive line, I think we know who the potential playmakers are. We got one right now in Vince Wilfork. We need one or two others. I would argue for another tackle by the name of Hainsworth, first name Albert. And I would argue for one of the defensive ends, please, to lay a finger on a quarterback, whether it's Ellis, first name Sean, or Carter, first name Andre. Somebody step up, make a play. Any life left in either of those two pairs of legs? Got four legs back there between those two guys. No one's laid a finger on anybody yet. I'm waiting. You need a playmaker, because the playmaker makes a significant defensive stop, as you're asking for, Tiff. Very good email. I really like it when you contribute to the show. Lady knows her football. All right, John and Kevin. If Chung didn't slip and fall to the ground by accident before the interception, Campbell would have seen him. It was a great play by Chung, though when he got up to locate the ball, Campbell was more surprised he was there than anyone. That was a turning point play, I thought, in the game. Absolutely. You asked last week for off-the-wall suggestions for the Patriots, and I said, put Ridley in and run him and run him and run him and run him. Okay, you were absolutely right about that, Gene. It's our friend Gene in Daytona. You're absolutely right. You get credit. I'm glad you brought it up. I had forgotten that, but you're right. Patriots did put Ridley in, and they ran him, and look what they got. It's what the Raiders were giving. It's what the game plan accentuated. Bingo. All right, so Gene, going to give you the floor here. He says, I think Guyton is better in pass coverage than Mayo. I think Spikes in the middle will pick up the slack. The score at the end of the game means nothing, only for stats people. Don't forget, if you go for the punch out, you have a chance of getting hit yourself, maybe getting hurt. If you're way ahead on the scorecards, why not just jab your way to victory and forget about how it looks? Okay, but you don't have to lay down and die like they did on that last drive. You can get hurt, too, if you're not paying attention out on the field, Gene. Best thing about the Pats can do is start working Taylor Price into the game and get him some playing time. I don't think it's a defensive problem in the league. I believe the offensive linemen are getting more athletic and more coached better. All right. Or better coached. Let's work on the grammar there, Gene. Okay. Kevin's agreeing. It's all right. I just read it as it's written.
That's all you can do. You can't edit on the fly.
No, I can't. It's hard to edit on the fly. Sometimes I do, though. I do edit. You know that. I read it on the edit on the fly sometimes. I'm not making fun of you, Gene.
I'm not making fun of you, Gene.
I'm nitpicking.
Gene, by the way, yeah. So be careful.
I know. Gene's pretty you know what? He's been pretty good with his predictions. He did say the Buffalo game would be the only loss the Patriots have this season. Okay? He did say that. I gave the Patriots a loss last week. When I called on the show last Thursday, Kev, for anybody that didn't hear, okay, I said Oakland 27-24. I'm going to stand up to that. Nobody's hammered me on that today, by the way. So good job out of you. But we still got 35 minutes to go on the show.
Yeah, we still got a little. You can't, what is it? You can't count your chickens before they hatch or whatever? Yeah.
Well, I thought my reasoning was sound behind picking Oakland last week. Patriots defense had showed me squat. Squat! Did they show a little bit more than squat this week? Okay. All right. Strippers sends me this note. He says, via at Pro Football Focus, quarterbacks throwing at Darrell Revis through four games have a quarterback rating of 3.6. He's allowed three receptions in four games. Woo. Then what does that tell you? We have to see Revis on Welker. We do. We have to see it. That matchup has to happen. Can we see Darrell Revis cover Wes Welker?
Might as well.
Or do you think that they decide to, you know, go Cromartie and maybe double with a safety like they took out Gronkowski? Oakland did this last week. I'm just asking. I want to see Revis. And then I'm still bringing the safety over to help out on Gronk. Talk about the ultimate challenge. Now, that's a game plan. Let's see the Patriots try to game plan against that matchup. And let's see Wes Welker go against Darrell Revis. I think we're all, as football fans, I think we should beg for that matchup. Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see how they fare against each other? You're talking about right now two of the very best in the game at their respective positions, the absolute two of the best. Don't we want to see that? I think that would be a good way to go. Absolutely good way to go. Chad is in Georgia. Chad, you're in the playbook. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great.
What did you think of Ridley?
I thought Ridley ran with a great burst. I thought he showed a little wiggle, which is always good for your tailback. I thought he hit the holes that were there, and I thought he showed a little leg drive. So, 10 carries, 97 yards, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, yeah, I liked it. I think Brady liked it, too. I was listening to him on the radio doing his interview, and he said that he loved the way that it was balanced.
Yep.
He said, it hadn't been balanced like that for some time.
Well, hey, 30 passes and 30 runs, you can't get any more balanced than that, and that's what makes the Patriots extra deadly. I mean,
I agree.
Let's face it. I mean, they did go for it late in the game, and they left the football deep in Oakland territory. Otherwise, they'd had another touchdown on the board, and it's almost like they yawned their way to 31.
Right, and I mean, Brady, he uses the play action so much and so well. It's almost like when they go to run the ball, the defense doesn't believe they're going to run the ball, and then when they do run it, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, what the Patriots did more than anything else, and here's a real positive that I will take from the game against Oakland, Chad. Positive I'm taking is that they've debunked the rumor or the beginning of the inclination that the Patriots were a one-dimensional team, because they've shown that they can run the ball, and they really needed to do that. So, you know what? I'm thanking Oakland. Right now, I'm thanking the Oakland Raiders and Hugh Jackson, because what they did is they allowed the Patriots to game plan that route and show that they have the ability to run.
Yep.
I mean, it's as simple as that. This no rocket science involved here. That's exactly what Oakland did. They put the guys in there, they took the middle away, and they allowed the opportunity for the Patriots to try to gash them on the end, and that's what they did with a guy like Stephen Ridley.
So do you think they're going to use him more now, like more than Green Ellis, or do you think
No.
it's going to take them some more time?
I think they're going to stay.
Put them up.
I think they're going to stay with exactly what they've been doing. I don't think there's a feature back. There really wasn't last year, even though many ended up with 1,000 yards rushing. It really wasn't a feature back. Because he and Woodhead, alternated a lot on downs. I mean, he was only in there for one or two downs per series, if that. And I think the same is going to hold true here. Think now, I'd be really surprised if Ben Jarvis ended up with 1,000 yards again, or anybody on this team had 1,000 yards, because now you got three guys.
Right.
And you're trying to work a fourth into the mix if a guy like Shane Vereen can never find his health. He's another guy that I'm getting ready to nitpick on. And then let's not forget that you got to make a decision on Kevin Faulk in another couple of weeks.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot of competition in the backfield. And so I think the Patriots like the fact that they've got different guys that are available that can give you something a little bit different from everybody. But I like Ridley. My own son, my own 16-year-old son, who's got a pretty good eye for this, he said, Ridley doesn't look like he did at LSU. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, he looks lighter. He doesn't look as heavy. He thought he was a stockier back at LSU. And I said, well, let's go back and look. So we had one of the LSU games from last year, by the way, sitting on my DVR. We went back. Sure enough, I don't know if it looked like the pads or if it's the way that his shoulders are make his midsection seem slimmer. He doesn't look as thick as he did at LSU.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what the reasoning behind that is, but he appears to have remade himself somewhat. And like I told the previous, caller, emailer, I'm just saying, and I told you earlier, I like the wiggle. I like the missability that he gave. He gives you a little shake and bake thing, and he causes you to freeze the linebacker. And if you freeze the linebacker, dude, you got it won there. You're going to win that battle.
Right.
Right?
Right. You think more teams now are going, two bags, three backs on the roster to have more of a strategy to it. You got Sproles, you got Pierre Thomas, and all those guys and you got Green Bay and Starks and Kuhn, you got all those running backs. You think that's more of a strategy going into it, other than, running backs having to share time? You think it's more of a strategy that they have more than one feature back, like Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm going to guess here that teams just simply like having options. I mean, if I were coaching and I was putting together a team, I'd want to have a guy that, could be certainly, your bell cow, so to speak, for lack of a better phrase. But I also want a guy that's got a little wiggle, and I want a little guy that's going to pound you. So if you can combine those three traits with two backs, then you're going to alternate your two backs. But I think
you're going to keep your defense on their toes. They're going to have to be constantly guessing, what are they going to do?
Absolutely. And so I think however you arrive at getting that versatility, Chad, is what teams are trying to look for these days. And I think the Patriots are arriving at that versatility using, you know, a guy like Green Ellis who still has a nose for the end zone. Let's face it. You know, Duke can still score touchdowns, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think they still like him in short yardage situations. They found somebody that can block, and, you know, they're using Dane Fletcher now as a fullback where he's never played that position before in his life. And now they're using Fletcher to get in there and block because they discover that he's got a penchant for it. So Fletcher, to me, is sort of like he's sort of like Mike Vrabel light, you know?
He's
He will start filling the Vrabel role when he starts to get a catch a pass in the end zone, you know?
Oh, yeah. I hear. Well, that was all I had, man. I appreciate it. I love the show.
Thank you.
Keep it up, man. And I enjoy it.
Will do, Chad. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate that. Chad's in Georgia. We're big in the state of Georgia today, by the way. Between him and Big Al, we're big in the state of Georgia.
You're big in Georgia.
Big in the state of Georgia. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Going to be charging you long distance soon.
Yeah, I know. All right, let me get a couple of other emails in here. We're going to take a break, and then I want you to listen to a little bit of Coach Belichick's conference call from earlier today. Marco in Ontario. John, the Patriots roster is one of the deepest and most talented on paper, but they do not produce on the field. I believe this is both the fault of the coaching staff in the lack of player development and the drafting process, a general lack of explosive players. Both of these parties are run by Belichick. He has too much control of a team that desperately needs a change of culture. Assuming Coach Belichick maintains his stranglehold on the direction of the team, will the Patriots actually improve over the next few years and be able to beat a tough opponent in the playoffs? I don't think they will. If the Patriots lose early in the playoffs, does a change finally take place? Wow, Marco. You know, it's a shame to think that these questions legitimately must be asked, but I think we're kind of heading in that direction. You just might be a little ahead of the curve here, Marco. That's all. I will give you credit for that, but that's, you know, again, the drafting process is a part of it. What we've seen on the field in terms of explosive play, we haven't seen much, so you have to wonder about evaluation. You're heading in the right direction. Now, I'm not banging on Coach Belichick because it's not entirely up to him. There are other evaluators within this organization. Bottom line does, however, stop with him. And, you know, you can go back to, you know, the 07, 08 drafts or 07 in particular, and who's left? Nobody. So you got a couple of drafts that are complete whitewashes here. And then you go free agent, and you're thinking, well, these guys still have some life left in the legs, and this is what you're getting after 4 weeks? All right. It's a legitimate gripe. It's a legitimate gripe. It's a legitimate nitpick to this point in time. As long as we're doing that, it is legit. It is proper to question. Now, we get to 6 weeks. The bye week stage, right around in that time frame, I think then you're going to start to really realize what kind of a team New England is going to have and whether or not they've got any really solid chance to be playing well into January and maybe February. I think we're a couple of weeks away from really getting a firm grasp on that. I do like the way the defense trended this week. The bottom line is, I like the way it trended. They still gave up way too many big plays for my liking in yardage. They're dead stinking last in passing. They may be last for the rest of the year because they gave up so many yards early statistically. We may not see the Patriots budge off of number 32 in pass defense this year. We may not see it. Unless all of a sudden somehow we start to sack the quarterback. By the way, the Patriots are in the bottom half of the league as well in terms of putting pressure on the quarterback. I think that's something we already all knew anyway. You don't need stats to tell you that. Your eyeballs can tell you that. Dave in Monterey, California. John, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote in about Dane Fletcher playing Mike. I also said that Spikes and Guyton were slow, uninstinctive, and easy to block. I'm still big on Fletcher, but Spikes appear to be tackling solidly, reading well, and making plays. His intensity is the most animation I see from anybody on the defense. I'm slowly coming around to Spikes. I'm still not sold on Guyton. Obviously, defense is a big nitpick. I just don't think we have the personnel to get it done. They played more 3-4 cover 2 this week. Yes, they did. That's how this team was built until this year. I'm hoping that we have a player in Spikes. I'm hoping he can step up. Well, Dave, he's going to get a chance to now, right? Then he continues by saying, I like Chung to be our next Harrison. Spikes is the closest thing to Brewer, or closest thing to Brewer Vrabel. The defense needs to get aggressive, swagger, and identity as the guys who are going to knock your block off. I'm with you. And then he says, my other nitpick is the decision to get rid of the other Gronk. I get it if your other tight ends are better, but Bill cut Gronk too after Hernandez went down. They ran two tight end sets, 78% of the offensive snaps, and then cut a tight end and lost the other to injury. They've been running with one tight end since. Now, you have to play a whole different section of the playbook. If they kept Gronk too, then they still might have the option to run or pass out of the two tight end sets and keep defenses honest. I sure hope Hernandez is back this week against the Jets and Coach Footy. All right. That's legit. Good email.
Really beautiful feet. Excuse me, ma'am. Can I help you with anything?
I still laugh every time I hear that.
Oh, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave mine. But most men like to do a lot of things with those feet.
All right. Please, I got to stop giggling, all right? This is just too much. Cue the XXX music.
Glad I could make you laugh a little.
Thank you. I needed that today. Thank you. Oh, that's good stuff. Oh, my goodness. Dave makes some great points there. They cut Gronk, too. Didn't refill the spot. I'd have to go back and look at who the actives were, but a lot of that I think they felt like they could do without. But you're right. Two tight end sets were really what was causing the Patriots to almost be unstoppable on offense. A lot of that is because Hernandez is not really a tight end, even though he's in there in a tight end set. Carl says, you guys are missing the point. The NFL likes pinball scoring and have made the rule so that you can't touch the quarterback, hit a receiver on overthrown balls, or even touch a receiver after 5 yards. Even Brady made this point when he passed Montana in touchdowns. Hard to play defense when they won't let you. No, I haven't missed the point. I get it. But I don't think the Patriots have adapted well enough to it, and that's my large point. Carl, you bring out a very, very, very valid observation. The NFL likes the scoring. They've made the rules, where obviously you can't touch the quarterback or anybody high and can't touch the receiver. I get all that. But look at where the Patriots are defensively, statistically, and where the Cincinnati Bengals are. Now, you're telling me the Bengals' defense is that much better personnel-wise than the Patriots? Of course not. Again, earlier caller mentioned, okay, consider who the Bengals have played, and yes, I am. But the Patriots should not be dead last. Remember, one of these teams was Buffalo. I know Buffalo's better, but it was Buffalo, okay? So I'm saying that, you know, there are several things here that are kind of in the mix. Some of it is personnel. Some of it is evaluation. And then some of it is also in performance. And I will allow you a little sliver. Some of it's the NFL and the rules. A little sliver. But that doesn't mean, you know, just because you're not allowed to touch a guy after 5 yards, doesn't mean you can't cover him. Doesn't mean that you can't step up and make a play somewhere. Hit somebody legally. Okay, it's one thing. Okay, we know you can't hit them illegally. Hit somebody legally. Other teams are doing it. Baltimore's doing it. Cincinnati's doing it. Dallas is doing it. Washington's doing it. Hit somebody legally. Let's see. What else we got? All right, let's do this. Are we taking the break? Are we doing it? Or are we taking the break? Do we need to take the break?
It's up to you. We are not contractually obligated.
No, I didn't think so. That's why I was going to say, because, you know, I'm getting into the emails here. Let's do this. I did want to play Coach Belichick for you a little bit on his teleconference. So let's get into that for just a little bit, just to give you the updated info as we have it here. I've got a few emails that we're going to get to. Still some time to get in your nitpicks at webradio@patriots.com, and still some time to call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. I've got a couple of other emails that we will share, a couple of other Facebook posts that I will share. But let's listen to Coach Belichick as we get ready for the Jets.
Jets.
Well, I think, you know, kind of the typical Jets team. Real good on defense, real good in the kicking game, explosive on offense. I got a lot of guys who can gain a lot of yards in a hurry. The receivers, Burris, Mason, of course, Antonio Holmes, Keller, Tomlinson, Green, a couple of new guys like McKnight and Curley, you know, that haven't played a lot, but when they've gotten in there, they've looked pretty good too, so a lot of guys to get ready for. Ferguson, Pro Bowl guys on the offensive line. And they're a good, solid team. As usual, good in the kicking game. Strong on defense. Good scheme, good players. There'll be a lot to get ready for this week.
Bill, can you talk about how they, with Plaxico, what do you bring for them? And when you're watching film, are you looking at film from previously, or do you look at this season in terms of actually evaluating him?
Oh, we did look at him in the off season. Because his general availability is something that we normally do. Look at all the players that are not connected with a team, but he hasn't played in a while until this year, and I think there's plenty to go off of this year. He played quite a bit in preseason, and of course, has played here during the regular season. So, I think kind of what we normally see from him, strong, physical guy. Go up and get the ball. Even if he's covered, he's really not covered because he's capable of going up and taking the ball away from the defender. So, good down the field, good on a catch and run, or get a tackle.
Bill, you obviously did pick up a receiver and trading for Tosinko, but how seriously did you guys consider Plaxico in the offseason?
I don't know. I mean, we look at everybody. Obviously, you don't get everybody, so some things come together, some don't. But we'll work with what we got. I'll work with what they got. See how it goes on Sunday.
Bill Taylor Price was active last week. How much further along is he? Would have you been able to see out of him in practices? Is he someone that you feel like he can finally get a chance to get in there?
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. Overall, our receiver group's been pretty productive. But Taylor, when he's had an opportunity to play, has been productive as well. So, I think, all those guys know that they've got to be ready to go, take advantage of their opportunities. There's good competition at those positions. We've been able to put several different guys out there, and they've all been productive. So, guys know when they get their opportunity, they gotta make them count.
When you're looking at the Jets, I can't remember how many games they had Mangold. I thought it maybe had been just one, but do you look at them? Do you study more with Mangold in there and their run game and how they protect, or have you looked at more recent film with him not in there?
We watch all their games and we prepare for all the players on the active roster every week. We all know that can change in one play early in the game anyway, who's in there and who isn't. So we have to be prepared for all of them, and we'll do that. Study him. We'll study all the other players on the roster too. Whichever ones they decide to play, then there's nothing we can do about that. We just have to do our preparation. Whoever we get, know how to know their strengths, know their weaknesses, and how we want to try to play them.
After all these years, and you played the Jets so many times, did it still feel a little, do you get a little more excited preparing for Jets week or focused or anything like that?
Oh, well, it's a division game, so, of course, it's a big game. All the division games are. This is the next one, so, we'll put everything we got into this one, and then when it's over, we'll take a look at it and move on and put everything we got into next week's game. So it's obviously an important game. Do the best we can this week to maximize our preparation opportunities and be ready to go on Sunday.
Bill, does the playoff game from last season factor at all in the preparation, or is that too far removed?
No. We'll look at all the games from last year and all the preseason games and all the regular season games. We've seen them all. I mean, of course, we spent, in the off season, we when we do our off-season scouting reports, that's really when you go back and I can really spend time on the previous year's games, and then you know, take what you have, the information you know, obtain out of that, or ideas, or whatever, and then you look at this year's stuff, and you factor that into it, and then come up with a game plan, and you know, figure out what you want to do.
Bill, for the players who would have been a part of that team, playoff team, do you want them to factor any emotion for how the season ended for them last year into a game like this, or are you more interested in them focusing strictly on this season?
We're most interested in trying to go out there and play well on Sunday. That's what we try to do every week. We've won plenty of games in the past. We've lost some. Those games really don't have much bearing on this one.
Bill, just quickly, one thing you guys did add, kind of a little offensive wrinkle, was it looked like Dan Connolly pulled on a couple running plays, which I can't remember. Can't remember if Copen did it. Is that something that Connolly is able to do, or had you guys done that before?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the, basically what you do on the offensive line is you, on a running play, you have, obviously on the play, but, you know, you have so many players to block so many players. You have, you know, three to block three, or two to block two, or four to block four at you know, the entry point of the play. So, based on how the defense aligns and what you anticipate they're going to do after the snap, if anything, you have different blocking options. So, like, all three of us can just go get our guy, or two guys can block down and one guy can pull, or one guy can block down and the other guy can pull, or, you know, there's different combinations depending on where you're trying to enter the defense. And so really a lot of that's based on the front, and the way that the defensive line is aligned, and possibly what we think they'll do from that alignment. And a lot of that's done at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, when we call the play in the huddle, there's times where we don't even know if we're going to be pulling or not. It would depend on their alignment. You know, like, how can we best get those three guys, or those two guys, or whatever the play is that we're assigned to, if that makes any sense. I'm not trying to get too complicated here, but it's really just a matter of numbers and blocking angles. And, you know, part of the play is will be blocked one way, and then the rest of the play, you know, you have to get a defensive lineman, or two defensive linemen and one linebacker, or a defensive lineman and two linebackers. Based on their alignment, what's the best way to get to those guys? So, but whoever the center is, it wouldn't make any difference, or whoever the guard is, it wouldn't make any difference.
Okay.
It's more based on the play and the alignment of the defense on that particular play, and then that call's made at the line of scrimmage by the offensive line.
Interesting. Okay. We'll take a final question.
All right. No, we won't. And you just gotta love that. I mean, I play. You know, I wanted to hear that more, for just because I knew that Bill was going to be unbelievably deadpanned about, you know, the Jets game. We get psyched up about the Jets. The players get psyched up about the Jets. The Jets get psyched up about the Jets. Bill is going to be Bill. Just doesn't change. Never changes. Ever.
We're going to go out there and play the game, John. That's what we're going to do.
And the next week, we're going to get ready for the next team.
And we're going to play that game. Pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just glad. I had to do that just because I just thought it was, you know, it's Jets week, and we're talking about getting amped and psyched and pumped, and Bill doesn't change. Totally. Just, he doesn't change, won't ever change. It's just the way he is. It's who he is. Let's get on with it, right? In fact, I just had this little exchange on Facebook with Tim. He says, I can't listen to Belichick press conference call anymore without picturing him hunched over his desk, barely listening to the questions and munching on his cereal. It's true. It's totally true. That's who he is. It's what he does. That's why I thought the NFL Network special was great. It shed a lot of light into, you know, what he sounds like is really kind of who he is. What you see is what you get. You've heard that before, right? I think that's the way it is with Coach Belichick. Anyway, Sean sends this email. He says, John, hands down, Baltimore has the best defense. It can make up for Flacco's inconsistencies. There's no doubt about that. Baltimore doesn't have that defense. They don't win that game against the Jets. That defense helped that team win that football game. Jets did contribute. There's no doubt about it. Jets contributed to their own demise. But Baltimore's defense helps Joe Flacco win football games in spite of himself. Sean says the nitpick is the defense. He says, I'm trying to figure out why people keep saying that when Dowling gets back, he would help. I still can't figure out why he was picked with his injury history. I see him working himself off the team because he can't get on the field. Another draft bust. Excuse me. By the way, he says, Bodden equals hurt, no help. True. I got to tell you, again, I've mentioned this two or three times already in this program. And I think one of the legitimate nitpicks we can kind of look at now is evaluation in this team. They're not evaluating these players. Or their evaluations are just wrong. They're evaluating them. Let me rephrase that. They are evaluating it. They're just doing it poorly. Guy had a history. He missed almost his entire, senior season at Virginia. And yet you take him with the first pick of the second round. You're thinking, oh, this guy's got great, you know, physical ability. He's got good size. You know, he could match up with the stronger, bigger receivers. Great. So looks good on paper. Let's get him out on the field. Oh, he's hurt? Oh, he's got a hamstring? Oh, he's got the uh-oh. So he can't play. Wasted draft pick.
Four games.
And he's a bust.
If we ran talk shows back, and I know you remember this, when Asante Samuel first got here, do you remember what people were saying the first two and a half years?
It was terrible.
It was unbelievable.
It was terrible.
So, when people make blanket statements like that, and there were certainly a hell of a lot of them by national media on Sunday, I mean, I just dismiss. I can't take people seriously that say, make these blanket statements after such a small sampling.
You need a little more sampling.
You're absolutely right, Pete.
We need a little more sampling. But I will tell you that, you know, if you're relying on these guys to get significant minutes and they can't get into the game because they can't stay healthy, all right, that's fine. Then why do you go out and get these guys in the first place?
Well, again, it's four games, so I don't know. I mean,
but they have a history. And the emailer's right. Dowling has a history.
Curtis Martin had a history too, coming off his senior year and last year and a half at Pittsburgh too. That worked out pretty well. I mean, everybody was surprised he was available in the third round when they took him.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, there's a lot of examples. I understand
what it means, though, is guys who have histories are a crapshoot.
I think the whole draft is a crapshoot for the most part. It really is.
That's
a lot of it is.
That's fair.
I mean, there's a blanket statement for you.
That's fair.
I think the last couple have worked. Last year, certainly, it was a phenomenal draft. I mean, everyone's pointed out their failures and weaknesses, but so does every other team does too.
But the Patriots are rolling snake eyes now. Okay? They rolled snake eyes for a few of the most recent drafts, and it has hurt them. Let's call it as it is.
Well, last year was a great draft. Great draft. And people always forget the draft picks also are the ones that got them Randy Moss and Wes Welker.
Okay, we think
so
it's a great draft.
So you've got to remember that.
We think it's a great draft, but I don't think you can truly judge a draft until you're at least 3 years
behind. Well, okay, let's put it this way. You're right. But there's a lot of impact players making a statement on this team, you know, that are helping out. I don't know. Again, what do people want? They want instant
gratification.
Hall of Fame stats.
Yeah, we want instant gratification.
I hope people watched all these other games this week around the NFL and just looked at the flaws that are much more serious than you might think this defense has. It is, some of it's downright pathetic from the nightmare team in Philadelphia to Dallas, Buffalo. I mean, I don't want to hear it anymore. I mean, it's unbelievable. I thought Tom Jackson, he was actually quite funny on Sunday night. He just threw his hands up in the air. He's like, does anybody play defense? Can anybody play defense? And yeah, Baltimore's looked the best of anybody, no question, but Mark Sanchez sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks.
I know.
I mean, any quarterback can make that plays that poorly. And I think he's played poorly most of the year. They should be 1-3. And he did not look that great in the Jacksonville game either. The one that they won 32-3. That was a close game at the half.
Question is, do the Patriots make Sanchez healthy again?
For this week, at this point in the season, it's a tough spot for the Jets. Three straight road wins. I think they're going to get waxed. They look like crap. I think it's catching up with them. I think Fat Man's mouth is catching up with them. All this BS is backfiring on them. Will they be pumped? Yeah, they'll be pumped up initially. Let's see if they're Richard Seymour pumped up and play stupid too. But they have major issues, and they gotta first of all start by snapping the football. Well, how valuable is Conley? Look at what the Patriots have gone through over the years with Hochstein filling in at center very admirably for Kopey, and now Kopey's out again. And Conley, look how disastrous that was for them with Baxter, and then had to move the left guard over for a series or two as well.
Mm-hmm.
Pathetic. Look at how good Coach Belichick is. Look what's happening in Indianapolis. Do you think if Bill Belichick were coaching the Colts that they'd be 0-4? No. I can tell you right now they wouldn't be. I just hope people realize, look around and see what's happening here. And for the most part, you got a bunch of special people in this organization that are here. Just look around the rest of the league. I was dumbfounded Sunday by the stupidity I heard from national media members, a lot of them. Everybody picking the Raiders across the board, except for the Chris Carter of all people and Chris Berman. And all I have to do is say 26-2 after a loss. I said it, preached it all last week. I watched the whole Jet game on tape twice against the Raiders. The Raiders are not that good. Buffalo is not that good. I picked Buffalo to lose on Sunday. They're just not. They had 4 deceptions and barely hung on against the Patriots. Buffalo's going to lose some games. The Raiders are going to lose a lot more games, and I think the Jets are in serious trouble. So we'll see.
They could be. They absolutely could be. All right, Pete's very ramped up and ready to go.
Baby.
What else you got today? Anything good coming up?
It's all about the fans. Tomorrow we'll have more guests. That's good, and we'll get into that during the show. But lots of emails, lots of phone calls, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Boy, I thought that was going to be a great game. You were at Friday night, and that turned out to be a clunker.
Yeah, it was.
I thought South Florida would actually win that game.
I know. So did I.
How was the broadcast?
We always win on the
binoculars.
Air.
No, I
yeah, but you know what?
From the end zone,
that is one of the most. It was horrible. Whenever the ball is in the opposite end of the field, you can't make calls.
I hope you have a good spotter.
Well, I had a pretty good one. Actually, he's a former Pittsburgh player, so I was right on with all the Pittsburgh players, but the South Florida players, no clue.
That's the worst feeling in the world when you're a broadcaster, play-by-play, and you cannot see. And people think, oh, we'll just look at the television. Well, that doesn't work that way. You can, but it's not.
Television's 10 seconds
behind. Exactly.
So, yeah, if you want to make a delayed call,
kind of fake it
up.
Like in Bull Durham,
That's right. That's exactly right. All right, Pete's coming up. Final email here. This comes from Facebook. Paul says, John, I'm going to nitpick about the league generally rather than the Pats in particular, as it seems nobody can play defense anymore, which has sort of been our theme for the day here. It seems that unless the offense makes a mistake, like Campbell throwing straight to Chung or the Jets center botching a snap all night, the teams just can't stop one another from scoring, and it's getting boring. Wow. I don't know if it's rule changes or poor play from a lot of teams' defenses, but whichever it is, it's spoiling the sport as a spectacle, in my opinion. And this is exactly why, thank you, Paul, for that comment, because this is exactly why the NFL is told you can't hit the quarterback, because they want it to be, like an emailer said earlier, they want it to be like a pinball machine out there. Well, guess what? You got it. Here it is. You like the pinball? Because that's what you got in the NFL now.
As long as the Patriots win. But yeah, it's
and they're 3-1.
Ridiculous.
And they're 3-1.
Some of the calls are absolutely ridiculous.
And they'd be 4-0.
Yeah.
In spite of being dead last in the league in past defense, they would be 4-0 if Brady doesn't throw 4 picks. If he throws 3 picks, they win the game.
And by the way, the Patriots have allowed 98 points a game for the season. The mighty Jets have allowed 95, and the Bills 96. So everybody calm down.
Nobody's playing defense, at least in the AFC East right now. That's for sure. That's for sure. All right, Pete Shepard's coming up. Same Pats time, same Pats channel manana, kids. 2 p.m. Eastern time. All I do is win, win. No matter what, got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there. Cause all I do is win, win, win. And if you going in, put your hands in the air. Make them stay there. Ludacris going in on the verse, cause I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Keep your hands up, beat them in the sky for the homies that ain't making. Down.